This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. With less than 24 hours before new abortion regulations were set to take effect in Texas, U.S. District Judge Lee Yackel blocked the implementation of two provisions challenged by abortion providers, ruling that they would place undue burdens on women and therefore are unconstitutional. In that opinion, it was written that the provision of House Bill 2 that requires doctors to perform abortions to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of the abortion facility places a substantial obstacle in the path of women seeking an abortion, and it was an undue burden to her. He also wrote that the second provision of requiring women to follow a federally approved regimen of the abortion-inducing pill, RU486, also put a burden on the doctor. We're going to get more on this, and we want to hear your opinions, what you think about this ruling and the this abortion fight that's happening in Texas. Call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And this is a developing story. And we're going to start off by talking to Emily Horn. She is with Texas Right to Life. Emily, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, welcome to The Source. So this is not the ruling that you were hoping to hear, right?
I wouldn't say I was hoping for this ruling. I would say I wasn't very surprised. This is not the first time that this district has overturned some of our laws. And in the past, we've also had them upheld subsequently by the Fifth Circuit. So we, I wouldn't say it's the last word either.
So this is the process.
Yes, yes. And even the judge himself actually said the same thing. I was actually in Austin last week for the trial, and towards the end of the trial, he said, you know, I fully expect that whatever this ruling is, it won't be the last word because either side will most likely appeal to the Fifth Circuit Court. And Attorney General Greg Abbott's office has indicated that they will, and they're ready to take this case to the next stop, which is the Federal Circuit, Fifth Circuit Court in New Orleans.
Yeah, we hear that Attorney General Greg Abbott, candidate for governor, Abbott is filing today. He's not slowing down. He's going to hop on it right away.
Not wasting any time.
Yeah, exactly. So the provisions, let's talk about these provisions. I know that you were in favor of them and you continue to be in favor of them. That number one, that you a doctor having admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of the abortion facility. Of course, this judge said that put a burden on the women. A lot of abortion providers said this would shut down many of their clinics, that this is something that could not be followed through on. But you think, why do you support this measure?
You know, it is kind of funny that this is being argued on, you know, a new burden to the woman, since it is actually a regulation on the doctor. But the reason that we support these regulations in that specific case is that we think that it's very important for a doctor to be held accountable to his peers. You know, in most cases, abortion clinics are very independent and they operate independently. The doctor sometimes will work at several clinics in several different cities and every week, and so will not really be the cases that he deals with if there's a problem will be taken to an emergency room that he won't necessarily even have input in or have direct dealings with because he's not even necessarily in the same city. So by having admitting privileges, it gives him somewhat of a relationship with hospitals nearby, and it gives him someone to answer to if there is a problem. So we see that as a huge safety provision for women, not an undue burden.
Well, the number to call in to jump in this conversation, 614-8980, 614-8980. We're talking about the ruling just came down from a district judge saying that the abortion ruling, two of the abortion provisions passed by the legislature are unconstitutional. Well, let me just push back a little bit, Emily, because we're hoping to get someone from the ACLU of Texas or Planned Parenthood on the line to have the conversation here. But
sure. And one thing I'd also just like to say really quickly is that what is a victory for our side is the provision that required that stopped abortions past 20 weeks because that's the age when unborn children feel pain was actually not even challenged. And because the effective date of this law is tomorrow, it is still going to be in effect, which we do see as a huge victory because they didn't even want to have that conversation in the court. And so that actually is going into effect tomorrow. And so when people are talking about the law being overturned, we're talking about 1.5 provisions out of 4 that have been overturned, not all 4. So that part of the law is actually going into effect tomorrow, which is
You know, great. And I know that there are not very many abortions that are done after 20 weeks. It's a rare occurrence. So this was not something that was actually. I know that the pro-life side. This was their big push: stop abortion after 20 weeks. And there's still some debate.
Well, they're incredibly barbaric procedures at 20 weeks. So yeah, this is a huge win for us to be able to stop something that barbaric and that gruesome at 20 weeks.
But it was a very rare event. Very, very rare. It didn't happen. Not common. And so, and it was not seen by the.
It wasn't a majority of the cases. It did happen though at several clinics and several. I mean, and like I said, there was a huge. There was a huge pushback to this portion of the law, even though it wasn't legally challenged. So regardless of how often it occurred, the abortion clinics did not want to comply with this provision.
Okay, so that goes into effect tomorrow, and that is...
It does.
Okay, great. We're going to follow up on that. Let's get our caller on the line, and our number is 614-8980, and Judy wants to join the conversation. Judy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I just feel like... some of these requirements, we all, I personally don't agree with abortions, but it's not my choice to tell someone else what they can do with their bodies. I feel like they should have the right to do with their bodies what they need. But to say that all of this is to protect women is all smoke and mirrors, because and I'm so glad for this ruling that came down today. And we will see what happens in the Fifth Circuit. And we will see that Roe v. Wade will be upheld in the Supreme Court.
Okay. All right. Well, Judy, thank you for that phone call. So, Emily, Judy brings up the Supreme Court. And if this goes to this all the way up to the Supreme Court, how do you think that they would rule on that? Because some people say that this is a court that is waiting for a case like this that they, we can –
No, that's a great question. It is. And also, she mentioned specifically Roe v. Wade, and this isn't exactly a direct Roe v. Wade challenge. So while it has been a while since the Supreme Court addressed abortion, there are several cases around the country that kind of deal with abortion in different ways, and people are kind of speculating on what will be the next thing to hit the Supreme Court on this area. But again, this isn't a direct Roe challenge, and so we'll have to see what happens. But one thing that is interesting, if it was to go to the Supreme Court, was the question of the state interests. And Justice Kennedy has mentioned before that there are some state interests that have been explicitly stated by the Supreme Court and some which have yet to be determined. So, I mean, it is an open question. Even if it were to go to the Supreme Court, it's not necessarily something that is easy to tell how they would rule on this yet. But he did mention, and he tends to be the swing vote in these types of cases, he did mention that there are some interests which have yet to be determined. So that's about the, you know, the most that I would say that I have an indication, but we shall see what happens. Of course, the next stop, like she said, is the Fifth Circuit Court, and so it would have to go there first.
Right, and that's on the way. We're going to continue the conversation. Emily Horn is on the line. She's with Texas Right to Life, and we're talking about these two a pair of decisions that came down from a U.S. District Court here in Texas blocking the implementation of two challenges to abortion laws that were passed by the recent legislature. And the number to call to join the conversation is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. Coming up in the second half hour, we're going to be talking about dyslexia. There's a documentary film, a free showing tonight that you can watch, and there's a discussion about how to help your kids with dyslexia and what it means. But right now, we're talking about a decision that was handed down not long ago by a U.S. district judge who was blocking the implementation of two key provisions challenged by abortion providers. One of them is about the admitting privileges for doctors. The other one is about the prescription and administration of RU486, the abortion-inducing drug. Let's get Emily Horn is on the line. She is Texas Right to Life, and I wanted to get back on something that you had said earlier. We were talking about the admitting privileges, and the thing is that reported on this, that doctors were not getting those admitting privileges, that many hospitals did not want to get mixed up into the abortion controversy. You know, it's not popular. As you mentioned, that doctors do fly in, and then they for a day or two out of a week, and they will perform abortions in a community, and then they'll fly out, and that's not something they can do and still have admitting privileges. Emily?
Well, one thing I'd like to point out is that during the course of this trial, and whenever some of the abortion clinic owners were testifying as to the admitting privileges, it's important to note that no admitting privileges have been denied. There's actually just a lot of pending applications right now. So, first of all, it was apparent that during this, when they were talking about the requirements for admitting privilege and how they were to be obtained, the Attorney General's office did point out that there's not you're not allowed to discriminate against an abortion provider and say essentially that you can't have admitting privileges because you provide abortions, which was one of the allegations. And also that since none had been denied, it was hard to say what they would or would not be approved for.
But
was one of the things that was pointed out during the trial, and there's a lot of other stuff talked about, but I kind of forgot what your question was.
Yeah, no, that was just, you know. Well, let me get to the phones. The number is 614-8980, and Mariana is on the line. Mariana, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just have a comment that that I think that, first of all, we really should not look at abortion anymore as a choice. A choice is, do I, don't I? I think it should be seen as an option, because abortion can be the last option for a woman, but it is an option. A woman in that situation doesn't necessarily want to do that, but when it's life and death, it's something that they may have to do, but it's not necessarily a choice. And I think by saying it's a choice, it makes it black and white. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, Mariana. So I think she's kind of echoing what we've heard before by some people saying that we want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare in our culture. Emily?
Well, the word rare was removed from the Democratic Party's platform, I guess, last year. So I saw a sign. Obviously, the opinions on abortion are very widely varied and different, and they're also very emotional. So it is a sensitive issue, and I appreciate that. But one thing I saw during our time at the Capitol when this bill was being passed was a sign that said abortion on demand without apology. And I think it might have said something about taxpayer paying for it or something. I don't know. But people have very different ideas of how and when abortion should be obtained. But our position, of course, is when people say that it's their body, we're actually talking about two bodies. Since when a woman is pregnant, there is another life created. There is another life at stake, and an abortion actually ends that life. And so it's not quite as simple as just a choice, you know, what shall I have for dinner or anything like that. It's a very serious, emotional, and obviously is emotional for women that are facing it too, but there are two lives involved in this decision.
Okay, so the other part of the ruling was about the abortion drug RU486, and tell me about what the law was.
And one thing really quickly about that provision was not the entire provision was overturned. What was actually said was it is only unconstitutional and cannot be enforced if there is a health or life risk to the mother.
Right.
So otherwise, it's actually enforceable. So when you say two provisions were overturned, I guess we call it kind of one and a half.
Yeah, but it seemed like that was pretty much the doctor's call, and the
yes.
Judge said that this is what the doctor can decide, and I don't know how enforceable it is to say, you know, he could make that call each and every time, and basically it's a loophole.
That's actually what we would argue for a lot of exceptions. That the word health is a very broadly applied term, and when you have a doctor that is facing, you know, a profit margin and can say, well, depending on what I say or how, you know, if I say the word health or not, I'm facing money or no money. And so, yes, I would agree that it is a large loophole. However, the entire provision on its face was not overturned. So it's just important to note.
Sure. Okay, let's go back to the phones. And our number is 614-8980. And Robert wants to join. Robert, welcome to The Source.
Well, thank you. My comment is on the finding that it's an undue burden on the women to have their physicians have to have privileges in the hospital. I think any time you perform a procedure that has potential for harming a woman or any patient, as a matter of fact, you should be able to take care of your own complications. And I think this is for the protection of the women. I don't see it as an undue burden. Protection for the women who are involved in these procedures. If there are complications, their physician should come and take care of the complications. I'm a physician, and long prior to my being a physician, I was an emergency room nurse, and in El Paso, we had a local abortionist mm-hmm. who perforated a woman's uterine artery doing an abortion, and called an ambulance, sent her to our emergency room where she bled to death. And, you know, I found it very offensive that somebody would be doing procedures. And it's not just offensive, you know, as a human being doing procedures and not taking care of your complications, but as a physician to throw these emergency situations, potentially emergency situations, at people who are not involved in that decision to do the abortions, you know, and even if they're lesser kind of complications, such as if they get an infection, fever, and all these other things, I think the physician that's doing the procedure should be morally bound to take care of his complications.
Okay. Well, all right, Emily. So Robert was saying about the doctors having admitting privileges, and he's saying that all doctors should have to deal with that, but we don't pass a law that requires all doctors doing procedures outside a hospital have to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles. We pass a law that says only abortion doctors, and we have doctors doing procedures like this, other procedures that if there's an infection, which Dr. Robert had mentioned, you know, like then that could also be a problem. So why not pass a law saying all doctors, all procedures?
Well, that's a great question. I would also ask you, though, in that case, what kind of procedures would you be talking about where it's so independent? You know, because abortion, well, first of all, abortion is a unique procedure. It's very, very politicized, very highly charged, very controversial.
Yeah, but you're talking about health and safety. You're not, you know, and you're using that as the ticket to get you to this point. But I just wanted to say, if you're talking about health and safety, then health and safety is across all procedures of medicine, not just abortion.
Well, sure. And I can't necessarily speak to all those. I'm not a broad healthcare lobbyist, but I am a pro-life lobbyist. And so
right.
This is something that that's kind of a
weakness in the argument.
It's just that not of your other. Well, abortion can be a very dangerous procedure. And like
well,
you said,
according to these guys, any procedures, according to the last doctor. All right. So, Emily, I got to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. That was Emily Horn for Texas Right to Life. Appreciate it reacting to the recent decision to the judge.
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
All right. So let me bring in Heather Busby. She was a NARAL pro-choice group. Heather, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Welcome. So what's your reaction to the ruling today?
Well, I'm quite pleased that Judge Eagle decided to make what I, in my opinion, is as both an attorney and as a reproductive rights advocacy organization activist, the correct decision to strike down the admitting privileges as an undue burden upon women. I'm disappointed in the very narrow decision to strike down only in cases of life or health endangerment of the medical abortion protocols, because this is a gross intrusion into the practice of medicine and basically says that doctors have to use a 13-year-old protocol that's not commonly practiced versus the evidence-based protocol that doctors have found through the years to be far more effective, safe, and with fewer side effects.
Okay. Let me get another caller on. Let's get Karen involved in the conversation. Karen, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I was just going to comment. I noticed that a lot of women seem to use abortion as a form of birth control, and to me, I don't think that's what it should be used for. I think maybe it's a procedure that might... You know, it should be considered a more weighty decision and not just a decision just, oh my gosh, I guess I should have thought of it, but oh well, I might as well just have an abortion. I just don't think it should be used as a form of birth control. You know, that's just my opinion.
And do you think that's what's happening?
I think that more and more that's what it's becoming. Yeah, that's what's happened in the United States in general. That's what I think what's happened.
Well, I mean, we're seeing statistics showing that that it's not that there's fewer abortions being administered now, and like every year it seems to be a reduction in that, and then there's a sort of a debate over who takes credit for that, whether it's people who are able to do a better job of teaching, you know, safe sex practices and anti-pregnancy advocates, or is it the right to life? But the statistics definitely show us that there's fewer and fewer abortions every year.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. That's great, great news. I'm a registered nurse, and I work with a lot of adolescents, and it seems like the laws are not really in their favor. You know, it seems like a lot of them have already had abortions, and they're thinking of it as something that is an option for birth control. They say it's harder to get birth control than it is to get an abortion.
Wow. Then I guess some people who say, if you want to have fewer abortions, I think that everyone would argue we want to have fewer abortions, then the best thing to do is to do a better job of providing birth control. Karen, thank you so much for that phone call. And so, Heather, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. So what do you think of the odds of how this is going to survive an appeal? Because we've heard that Greg Abbott is already going to take it that way.
You know, the Fifth Circuit is makes their decisions on what I feel is a much more ideological basis than what is the law, especially in Supreme Court law and in other jurisdictions and other circuit courts. So, you know, I am nervous about a challenge, but my hope is that the Fifth Circuit will put the law above politics and personal beliefs and decide this the right way, that this is an undue burden on women.
All right. Heather Busby, thank you so much for joining us. She is from NARAL. And earlier we heard from Emily Horn from Texas Right to Life reacting to the new decision that will be blocking the abortion regulations that was set to take effect in Texas for tomorrow. This is The Source on KSTX. When we come back, we're going to be talking about dyslexia. Stay tuned.